or that you see me serving up these pages. The Deep Green application. Agent Information Server is an enormous application that runs multiple heavy-duty servers 24/7 for like 4 or 5 years now, nonstop. And it serves up agents. The Deep Green application is the one, at this point, exemplar heavy-duty app written on it. And it's 25 gig. It's distributed over between 18 and 24 nodes, depending on who's up right now. And it's growing at the rate of a half a gig a month. And that's the Deep Green application. It is the Deep Green application that we are not licensing, but the Agent Information Server technology. We're working with UCLA to see if it can be used in protein folding. We're working with a couple of financial companies that are trying to do their own financial application based upon it.
So I guess the question is, if the software is that good, why bother licensing? Why don't they just run it and make money?
Well, that's our approach at the Deep Green project. Well, we want to make enough money to keep funding ourselves, yeah. Well, but we have made a lot of money.
You've answered, actually, my one question, which was, so you have this wonderful agent thing, and so who else is using it besides Deep Green? Do they actually use your servers, or do they have their own copy of the software that they run with their own agents?
Well, in Best Buy Agent, all of the commercial rights to Agent Information Server have been transferred and licensed to Invest by Agent. And Deep Green, the Deep Green Project and Corns Associates keeps a worldwide perpetual right to use Agent Information Server internally for its Deep Green application. So if you have something in protein folding, for instance, Invest by Agent is currently working with DARPA to see if they can use this engine to scan enormous amounts of communication data on the web to look for terrorist information. So any use that you have for an agent information server database like this, you can go to IBA, investbyagent.com. They have a website. You can look it right up right now. And you can contact them, and their business is to help you use this technology to build an application that would be good for everyone. Yes?
So I have actually two questions. One, I wanted just to hear you talk a little bit more about the actual agents and how they compete and interact.
Okay.
The other was what you just mentioned with the, you've been talking about having a natural language processor. Where are you in that development with being able to interpret human communication? There's been a number of projects, a number of theories on, you know, how to identify that communication. One thing written by an unknown and another thing written by another unknown person are from the same people, but none of the stuff that I have seen is actually good enough to trust. They're right most of the time, but not enough of the time. Do you have anything that's getting anywhere near trustworthy in that respect?
Yeah, that was two questions. So let me answer the first one first and the second one second. There's too much information to answer the first question in entirety, but essentially the database runs on a universal virtual machine. It is a register transfer language. You have to forgive me. We're computer science geeks. This is my 38th year in the business. I was at IBM Research. I was chief technologist of timeshare transactions. I was VP and chief scientist of Xerox Imaging. I mean, you know, we're into this geeky nonsense. It's a register transfer language. Therefore, we use it as quads for our intermediate compiler language. It runs at about three times as slow as C in running our agents in the database application. Okay? We are a database. We are not a general purpose programming environment. So if you're not interested in storing huge amounts of agent data, then you would use Python or C or something else. You would not use us. All of the agents are written in one or more languages. Currently existing, we have an XML compiler, a natural language chatbot compiler, a Lisp compiler, a JavaScript compiler internal to the engine. And agents written in those languages get automatically translated into executable objects that utilize our UVM. Now the UVM can, just say, the UVM can be interpreted or it can also be run native. And when you come up on a machine that has a native translator, it will automatically run native off that executable structure. Every one of our agents is an executable structure, and that's the definition of agent in our system. And they are designed to be stored and loaded off our database and navigated by the system in real time. So you can be running one of these systems and say store yourself, and then it'll store itself in its current state, and it does a full object closure. A spider walks and does a full object closure for all the objects it needs, saves itself, and then when you bring it back in an hour later, it merges back into the agent information system in the state that it was in, and immediately proceeds running again. And that's the whole point of the database. So that's the first question. The second question was, you have to understand that we're an applied research project. So we go out to academia and get all the latest technology. Our job is not to invent new science. Our job is to implement it. Now, occasionally we have screwed up and we have invented new science, but we're not supposed to do that. We have a problem right now, and it's the same problem you mentioned. All of the chatbots out there that have really good forward production engines at their core don't have any content. And so when you try to talk to them, you get really stilted garbage back. The one system out there that has really cool content is written by a guy that academia really doesn't like very much for whatever reason. But it's got great content. But it doesn't really have any kind of, I mean, a computer scientist would take a look at its engine and go, well, you know, there's nothing here. And truthfully, there isn't much there. But there is one thing that's really cool, and that is this really fast dictionary lookup. So what we're trying to do is retrofit that dictionary lookup and the content into a full forward production multi-way backtracking engine. And we're almost there. I still don't have performance criteria for you. I could come back next month and say, well, it didn't work because it was too slow. There is one other thing you should remember. All we're trying to do is replace me for the investor. Right now, when the investor comes to Deep Green and he says, well, this is great, but have you ever tried this? He has to come to me and I have to say, well, yeah, there's already agents in there to do that, or I'll code up an agent that will basically trigger an evolutionary system and will cause that to evolve. We want the investor to be able to talk to Alice and say, well, what is a PE? And then when they don't have anything sensible to say, we want Alice to come back in and Alice to come entertain them. But we also want the investor to be able to say, well, have you ever tried looking at things with PEs when their volume was high? And we want Alice to come back to him and say, no, but I'll try that. Give me a week and I'll put some machines on. I'll come back to you in a week and tell you. And do the evolutionary setup all by herself and have the thing totally automated without the involvement of a programmer. That's what we're trying to do. If we do that, we'll be successful. Now, the second thing, but you see, that wouldn't get as far as recognizing speakers or actually recognizing natural language to the extent you're talking about. But we don't have to do that at this point for this project. Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask a quick question. I have the mic next.
Okay.
AliceBot is GPL code based, correct?
And AliceBot is what?
Is a GPL code based.
It is a GPL code. It's a GPL.
Are you feeding back to them improvements that you're making?
We have sent back to them our version of AliceBot, and we will send back the full version when we have it done.
Okay.
And they would then be able to run it on our information server or translate it to whatever they want. Our relationship with academia is we take their stuff and then we feed back to them input about how well their stuff works, etc. And our relationship with the GPL community is when we add stuff in this application, we feed it back to them. But we're not done with Alice yet. So at this point, Alice could be a total failure if we try to do this unification resolution and it turns out to be her response time is too slow.
So I think we have time for two more questions here.
Okay. I'm just interested in how big your operation is. Sounds like you guys have been at it for a while. How many coders are working on this?
Four.
Now, I must tell you that if you ask me, and I've been in industry a long time, if you ask me, gee, Mike, we're starting a normal corporation that doesn't have secure funding source, how much would it take you to do to do Deep Green? I'd ask you for $50 million at least. And the problem is that you've got so many starts and stops and the goals change, but the reason that you can get so much, we put a total of about $5 million of development money into this. And the reason you can get it for so cheap is because your goals don't change, it's long term, same people working on it. I mean, it's the same kind of efficiencies that you see in open source. You get enthusiastic people, the same people are working on it, they don't get yanked off every 6 months, you know, to work on the latest project, on the latest.
For a young programmer who doesn't have, who wants to do a machine learning application, but doesn't have 20 years or $5 million, what sort of algorithms would you recommend that we should look at to get into that if you want a little more sophisticated in Bayesian analysis? Do you like SMOs now, or what would you suggest?
Well, if I were such a person, the only thing that separates me from what you just said is having $5 million and unfortunately not being young anymore. But I would either get Franz Lisp or Agent Information Server from Invest by Agent. I would swear by it. I mean, objectively, seriously. Or the Squeak version of Smalltalk. I don't know about Java and Python. I mean, I'm following them closely. I'd have to look at them. Then I would start looking at Collins' grammar template evolution. I would stay clear of Coase's S-expression evolution. It's too inefficient, but I would look at the grammar template genetic programming evolution. I would steer clear of neural nets entirely. They have been replaced, in my opinion, from what we're seeing, by support vector machines with the new SMO algorithm. Be sure and get the NEC paper and enhance your SMO algorithm with the regression implementations in the NEC paper. NEC. You can go to their site and look at SMO regression and you'll find their paper. I would use those. I would absolutely use unification resolution. I'd use the REET3 algorithm. Armed with those items, I'd then take a specific goal. When we started this project, we could have chess playing, we looked at Go, we wanted something that there was a clear definition of whether we're succeeding or not. Because one of the problems you have with a project like this is even when you succeed, everybody says, oh, you know, you didn't succeed because, you know, your machine wasn't smart and Kasparov was, you know, tired or whatever. But we chose this because it was self-funding and also it really doesn't matter what the opinions are. When the day is done, we get to keep the money.
Mike, they snuck me in for a last question.
Okay.
I don't understand. At some points you seem to be saying that other people who you call investors are using the software, and at other points you say you only use it yourself and nobody else does. And I guess I don't quite understand how it's actually used.
Well, there are two companies. One is Corns Associates and one is Invest by Agent. Corns Associates has never managed money for other people, and the application Deep Green is proprietary to Corns Associates, and Corns Associates basically funds research on this database system and AI application with the profits from investing in its proprietary account. Now, in 99, and as you know, we announced the idea of starting Deep Green at Hackers in 93. Now, in 99, we started Invest by Agent, which does manage money for other people. And it uses a variant of Deep Green, its own application. And it also, right now, I think just in the last week, they put up on their site their first web application for investors. So you can actually go to Deep Green, and they have a thing called Strategy Central that they're trying to sell. Now, once again, Corns Associates does not take any fees or salaries or money of any kind from Invest by Agent. We own their stock, and we hope someday to be able to sell it for a lot of money. So all of you should go out and buy 5 or 6 copies of Strategy Central and give them to your friends. Does that answer your question? If you wanted to get money invested, or you wanted to use this technology for your own application outside of finance, or you wanted to look at the financial applications that are available on the web, you would go to Invest by Agent. Okay? You would not go to Corns Associates. We would not help you. Their performance in their proprietary account has been slightly better than ours by about 0.5%. Okay? So it's been exemplary. Now, you must understand that we are in a crash, and as you saw from our list, we're losing money these last 3 years. We're just losing money at a far slower rate, but that's what growth investing is all about, okay? And we're back in the market again this year. We could have a 60-70% year. We're in one of the advanced options strategies, and we bought some out-of-the-money options, and some of those things are getting close to the strike price, and we start getting 2 and 3% on our whole account for every point some of these things go above their strike price. So, you know, we're about 4 or 5 weeks from things getting interesting.
So we actually do have some time to sneak in a little bit more. I have a question.
Okay. Nobody's asked why I'm so incredibly handsome. Let me answer that question.
Do you follow any market neutral strategies?
We do, and one of the things that we are constantly looking at is market-neutral strategies, especially in a crash like this. We have been unable to find any market-neutral strategies that do not have catastrophic risk. Anytime you short stocks, there is catastrophic risk. We have some minders in Invest by Agent that our venture people put on us. They first told us you should be like long-term capital. And then they told us you should be like the Tiger Fund. And then they told us you should be like the Bowman Fund and then the Soros Fund. And it got to be a joke. Within 6 months of them targeting a hedge fund, it would go out of business. And it got to be so a joke. We said, please don't tell us any more targets. We don't want to be responsible for their demise. So the only market neutral strategy that we have found that is low risk, and it earns a little bit more. There is a hedge fund index for market-neutral hedge funds, and it's returned about 7.5% per annum over the last 16 years. So it did poorly in the bull, and it's doing a little better in the bear. And the market-neutral strategy that we know of returns about 11 or 12% a year, and it involves the following. You take the stocks on our alert list, and you take the ones of those stocks that have LEAPS, that is long-term equity anticipation derivatives, and you take 30% of the value of your capital portfolio, and you write naked puts, naked LEAP puts, on those stocks at a strike price on the money, and you collect the premium. Now, your risk is that you may have to buy 30% of your portfolio in growth stocks, which have fallen. But you get to keep the premium, and you put the premium and your whole capital account in treasuries 5 years or less. The only losing year of that strategy was in 2002, and that strategy lost 4%. We do not invest in that strategy because we're not interested in 11 or 12%. We think we can do better than the 24% we've done in the last 9 years. Remember, that 24% was done with the technology as we started in 93 and then growing. Our technology now tells us in the next decade we expect to make 30% plus.
So even the strategies which solely bet on very high volatility, you find don't have very good returns?
High volatility is one. Another is it looks for values. One of the stocks that we're in at this time is McDonald's. The system saw McDonald's fall and decided that was a good buy. Whether or not that's true remains to be seen, but there's every kind of popular theory that you can think of is in the system. The system doesn't make any distinction between value or momentum. It's just looking for growth, and it values these agents on the basis of their 1, 3, 5, and 10-year track record. And the 50 agents out of the 3 million that do the best, they're the ones that get to publish their alerts in the weekly alert list. So the system is constantly adapting. I will tell you, the agents that are successful this week are not anywhere near the agents that were successful in 1999 and 1998. Okay?
Okay. This is our last question, really, this time.
If you keep evolving new agents, how do you get any track record for any of them, or do you consider their passage or something?
We use, that's a good question. We use only blind forward testing, no back testing. And so what happens is agents will do their thing using only data available to them in 95, and then they'll trade in 96 without having seen any data. That's the blind period. And then they'll use the information in 85 and 86, 5 and 86 to learn whatever they train their neural nets, whatever they're going to do, and then they'll trade in 87. And so whenever you get a new agent, it's thrown in and it's forced to train in blind forward testing all the way up. Now, the number of agents you find in blind forward testing that do well is minuscule. Okay? Back testing we don't use, and that's very inaccurate.
Okay, right. Thank you, Michael.